Hello, my name is Bob Marzano, and I'm CEO of Marzano Research Laboratory here in Denver, Colorado. And this is the sixth segment in a seven-segment video series, which describes and discusses the results of the What Works in Oklahoma School study that was conducted across two academic years, the 2009-2010 academic year and 2010-2011 academic year. There were five recommendations that came out of that study, and this is recommendation number five. There are three reports that are on the Oklahoma State Department of Education website. There's the phase one report and the phase two report. Those are more of the researchy reports, and then the phase three report, which contains all of the recommendations and then tools that you can use to implement those recommendations. They're all free. You can download them, print off as many copies as you want, change them, adapt, do whatever you want. So there are tools sitting there on the State Department website that, you know, are very, very valuable tools, we would assert, particularly if you want to use the results of the What Works in Oklahoma Schools study, you know, to say, here's our next piece of work at the school level. So recommendation five, schools should find ways for staff to work together, e.g. within professional learning communities. Now, that's a topic that's a big topic across the country, professional learning communities. The work has been going on for years. I think over the last decade, probably the most the seminal work, or certainly the most popular work on PLCs, is that by Rick Dufour, Becky Dufour, and Bob Eaker. Although there are other versions of PLCs, that's actually the one I'm most familiar with, the Dufours and Bob Eaker. Here's what I know about the effective use of PLCs. It just doesn't get people to work to get to, an effective PLC does not just have people meet and talk about issues. They have very, very, very clear goals. What we try to provide for you is some resources that would help you implement some of the defining characteristics of PLCs. The Dufour and Acre version of PLCs involves three big ideas: a focus on learning, collaboration, and a focus on results. And so those are the activities that guide the what occurs in a PLC with a collaborative group. You know, and those groups together within a school form a professional learning community. Some of the changes that occur, hopefully, when a professional learning community is alive and well in a particular school is a change of the way things are done. There's a shift in purpose, and I'm reading from some of the handouts that are available to you in the phase three report. A focus on teaching to a focus on learning. And that's kind of interesting. In my 40 years of working in public education, never really thought about it until the PLC move, that we really were concerned with, are the teachers teaching well as opposed to are the students learning? Now, obviously, it takes effective teaching, or that's usually a great stimulus for student learning, but it's real easy to look over here and miss that students aren't learning as well as they could. A shift in uses of assessment from summative assessments, just giving a test and recording the score, to more of a formative-based approach where you're looking at student progress over time. A shift from individual teachers determining an appropriate response to students to more of determination of what's in best response for a particular class or particular student. Just think about that. Commonly in PLCs, effective PLCs, collaborative teams are developing common assessments. Those common assessments are given. For example, at the high school level, you know, the math department might get together, you know, and develop a common assessment for or more, or two or three or four, for Algebra 1. And now that is given to all the students in all Algebra 1 courses, and instead of just the individual teacher looking at the results and saying, what should I do, that comes back to the collaborative teams. That's very, very powerful. You know, when assessments are used for the purpose of seeing what should we do next, for students. And also, instead of an individual teacher saying, what should I do next, we do it as a group. So it's kind of a group problem solving. And the message here is that, to quote a warm phrase, is that it takes a community, it takes a village to raise a child. Maybe it takes a village or a school to educate a student, that it's a team effort, it's not just individuals. A shift in focus from an external focus on issues outside of the schools, the big battles that we're fighting, as a school, in terms of the community and in terms of the state, and, what are they doing to us now type of thing. And that's always, it's part of human nature. People are going to gripe about the support or lack thereof, they feel from outside the community and parents, but if you realize that's, it doesn't get you very far, and shift to a focus on what can we do, though, in this building. Now, I'm just going to read you from a resource here that is meant to help identify what are things we would do to form a PLC. Last area here, shift in professional and school, excuse me, two areas. A shift in school culture from independence to interdependence, from a language of complaint to a language of commitment. And then finally, professional development, a shift from external training to job-embedded learning. I think that's really powerful, that instead of bringing in groups of consultants and speakers like myself and my colleagues, what teachers do within a school, they say, this is an area we're not that good in, common assessments. Let's get better. What are resources within the district we can use to get better at common assessments? Is there someone in the district or in the school who's an expert on this? Let's call them in. Let's try it ourselves, and let's write our own. So working in PLCs, even though it's being done a lot in a lot of schools, or stated differently, a lot of schools say they do have professional learning communities, there are certain characteristics of high-functioning PLCs. We try to provide the resources for you that allow you to say, this is what it looks like. Here are the steps we should take. Now, there are a lot of free resources, too. We try to give you some websites here. There's a website called All Things PLC that you can go to. There's free reproducibles. So there's a lot of information that a school could get without having to buy a book or bring in a consultant. So that last recommendation is that schools should find ways for staff to work together, e.g. professional learning communities. Pretty straightforward, can be used by pretty much any school, whether you're in the needs improvement staff category or not. Good thing to focus on. If you looked at the first segment of these seven segments, what you found is that one interesting surprise finding in our studies was that when we were examining how schools in the needs improvement category were different from schools in the not needy improvement category, one thing we found is that across the study, across the 2 years of the study, some schools moved out of the needs improvement category, and we looked at them particularly. And one theme we found there, a pretty strong theme, was that the schools that got out of that category, had fairly strong PLCs. So this might be an area particularly to look at if you're in the needs improvement status and say, what can we do? Might even be a very good starting place.